Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubis Daf Samach Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, 19 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana Maisa Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai Shei Roichav El Chamor. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was going on a donkey, Vahayu Yotzim Yerushalayim, and he was leaving Yerushalayim, Vahayu Talmidav Mahalchan Achrav, his Talmidim were following him. First you point out, look at the Kavod HaTorah. He's riding on a donkey. His Talmidim are walking to show kavod. Ra riba achas. He saw one girl. Shais malaketes oirim min bein gololi behemtim shel arbayim. She was collecting barley pieces, barley kernels from the manure of the animals of the Arabs. Kim shira saosai. As soon as she saw him, misatva besara, she covered herself up. Fondel front of him stood in respect in front of him. Amalo, Rebbe Panaseni. She asked him, Rebbe, give me tzedaka. Amla bni, Amla biti miat. Who are you? Amalo bas Nagdimim ben Gurion. I am the daughter of Nagdimim ben Gurion. Ani. Amla biti mamin shabes avicha heichen halach. Nagdimim ben Gurion was one of the wealthiest people in Yerushalayim. What happened to all your father's money? Amalo. So she told him, Rebbe. Loy kedain maslan masla. Isn't the following marshal, the following analogy said, B'Yerushalayim, melech mamon chaser. We know in the times of Chazal, they didn't have refrigerators and freezers. So they used salt as a preservative. What is the best preservative for money? Chaser, to give it away, to give it for tzedakah. V'amrilei, and others say, chesed. Doing chesed with your money is the best preservative. So Mefarshim discuss what's the difference between chaser and chesed. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that according to my Dhamma that says it's chesed, means it has to be strictly chesed, not just doing tzedakah, it's the way you do it. The other man Dhamma holds as long as you give tzedakah. The other nafkamina is, let's say one gives tzedakah to somebody who's really not worthy. So if pshat is chaser, that you depleted your assets, so you have the mitzvah. If it has to be chesed, that you did chesed, there is no chesed if the person who received it really didn't deserve it. The Gra says that our Gemara compares money to salt. He says, what's pshat that the Gemara compares money to salt? He says, salt, the more you drink something salty, the thirstier you get. The same with money. The more money you have, that's one thing he says in comparing money to salt. He says another thing about salt. He says salt is a crucial ingredient to have tasty food. But if you have too much salt, then the food is not tasty at all. He says money is wonderful as long as it's kept in moderation. Too much money is like too much salt. And what happened to the money that your father-in-law's family? The two families merged, and one made the other one lose his money. Do you recall? When you signed my ksuba, so he said it's talmidim. I recall when I signed this woman's ksuba. Her father gave thousands of gold pieces. Chut mishal chamer, besides what her father-in-law contributed. Baruch Rab Yochanan Ben Zakkai. So Rab Yochanan Ben Zakkai cried. V'ma yisreichem Yisrael. How great are you, Klal Yisrael? V'zman sh'ayis mitzvah nishlamak. And when you do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, ain kol umav aloshin sh'aletas behen. No one can have dominion over Klal Yisrael. However, v'zman sh'ayin ayis mitzvah nishlamak. When we don't follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, masrim b'yat umash shvela. We fall into the hands of a lowly nation. V'loy b'yat umash shvela, not just in the hands of the nation, el b'yat behemtam shel umash shvela, in the hands of their animals. So Mefarshim explained, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in the hands of such a terrible fate? So I saw three pshatim. One pshat is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to put us in the hands of a significant nation, so that nation may have schusim, and it'll be impossible for us to ever get out of their hands. But if he puts us in the hands of a lowly nation, so they're not that much better than us, and we'll have a way to have a Yeshua. Another pshat, along the same lines, is that if we were in the hands of a significant nation and we think that they're special and important, we'll learn from them. And there's nothing great to learn from them. But if we recognize that we're in the hands of an Ummah Shvela, so then we will not, we'll recognize that there's nothing good to learn from them, and it'll keep us protected. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik takes this Gemara a step further. He says that we should not look, he says, at Klal Yisrael as a nation among all the nations of the world that has certain special traits and certain special characteristics. Klal Yisrael is a different category altogether. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that either we're on top all the way, or then we're on the bottom all the way. There's nothing in between with Klal Yisrael. And I saw from the Tcheles Matcha, from the Masham, a very nice pshat. He says, you know, we always say, Shania L'Roish, V'Loy L'Zonov. We should be on top, not on bottom. So he says, why do we say L'Roish, V'Loy L'Zonov? We should say L'Roish, V'Loy L'Ekev. We should be like the head, not like the heel. He says, it's based on this Gemara. Because this Gemara says that when we fall, we don't fall just under people, we fall under their animals. Who has a zonov? Who has a tail? An animal. That's why the Gemara says that. That's why we daven Shania L'Roish, we remain on top, for loy l'zonov, not be under the animals' tails, if we chas v'shalom aren't. Ask the Gemara, Nagdimim and Gurim loyav tztaka. Is this true that Nagdimim and Gurim didn't do tztaka? V'tanya Amr lo v'al Nagdimim and Gurim. It was said regarding Nagdimim and Gurim, k'sheyoytz mebeis l'beis medrash, when he would leave from his home to shul, klimila soyimetzim tachtov, they used to put down a carpet of silk under his feet, and they would roll up the carpet and he to keep that stocker. So we see he did great stocker. Says the Gemara, Ibai same l'kvoydu David. One teretz is that he did it only for his own honor. So the Mefarshim, Marsha, that flaw, discuss a very fundamental question. There's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, I'm a selazul tztaka. The Swami says, I'm giving this donation, b'shvil shiyichye b'ni, in order that my son should be healthy, I raise a tzaddik gomer. So what's wrong if he had an intention for COVID? It's a tzaddik gomer. So the Rabbi Chanan, the Kovit Shurim, says in the name of the Chofetz Chaim, that in a time when this tzaris in Klal Yisrael, like Dimon Ben Gurion lived in the time of the Churban, there, if you want tzedakah to protect you, it has to be given with a pure intent. Other times, tzedakah can be given even without that pure intent. Another pshat that I saw is that if a person gives the amount of tzedakah he's supposed to, he can't, because it says in Pirkei Avos, Altiu kavodem hamsham shmus arav amnas l'kabel pras. We're not supposed to give do mitzvahs in order to get reward. So Mefarshim say as follows. If a person gives the amount of tzedakah he's supposed to, he can't do it to get reward. But if a person gives more tzedakah than he's supposed to, then he can ask for reward. And it's really an open pasuk. The pasuk says, tzedek, tzedek, tirdoif, leman tichya atav zarecha. What's pshat? Tzedek, if you give tzedakah, and then tzedek, you give even more than you're supposed to, then you could give it leman tichya atav zarecha in order to have an intention L'shma. But if you're only giving l'shem as much as you're supposed to, then you're not supposed to have any other motive. But the Masha and the Aflah say a different teretz altogether. They say tztaka, as the Gemara Masechet Nedarim says, is different. Tztaka can be even given with an ulterior motive, as long as the ulterior motive is not covet. What did he give it? He gave it for covet. Covet is never mutter. And that's why he got this punishment. The Aflah goes on to say, he says that if a person gives tzedakah even for covet, he has the mitzvah of tzedakah. But he says, what's the difference between somebody who gives tzedakah for honor versus a person who gives tzedakah without that intention? He says two differences. He says, you know, money, he says, is a galgal achay zabaylam. Sometimes you have it, sometimes you don't. How will a person be guaranteed that if he has wealth, and that wealth will remain in his family for generations if he gives tzedakah l'shem shemayim? He also says, we know it says in Pirkei Avos, Eizo ha'osher ha'samech b'chelkai. As we said earlier, many people who have a lot of money aren't really happy. He says, a person who gives tzedakah with the right kavana will have the schus that he'll be wealthy, but he'll also be content, he'll be satisfied. That's the schus of giving tzedakah with the right kavod. V'bay seima, could the boy le'evid le'ovid, as much as he should have done, he didn't do. Could amri inshi lefum gam l'shichna, according to the weight, according to the camel, you'll put on the load. Some camels could hold more of weight than others, and he could have given more tzedakah. And as the Mefarshim explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us what we can do. The famous saying from the Rebbe Reb Zisha. The Rebbe Reb Zisha said that when he's going to come up to Shemayim, they're not going to ask him, why weren't you like your brother, the Noam Elimelech? They're going to ask him, why weren't you what Reb Zisha could have been? Why didn't you reach the potential? And actually, we say it in the Tefillah. We say in our Tefillahs, we're saying Chelkeinu B'Serasecha. Every person has Chelkeinu, his potential in learning, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us reach that potential. He didn't do what he should have. Amar Rebbe Elazar Reb Tzadik, Erev and Chama, I will, Eloshin Shvua, Im Larisi Shay Melketes Oirim Bein Talfi Susim Ba'akoi, that I saw collecting kernels of barley by the hoof of the horses in Akko. Karasila Mikras, that I said regarding her, the Pasuk in Shir Shirim, Im Laseidelach Hayof Ba'noshim, Tzilach Be'ikva Etzoin, Uri'is Gedu Yisayach, Atikr Gedu Yisayach Lag Vesayach, you'll have to nourish yourself from the horses, from the sheep, if you don't give proper tzedakah. So I saw a beautiful pshat from the Ben Yoyada. He says, if you watch the characteristic of these sheep, of these animals, they are devoted to their children without any other ulterior motive, to animals, and totally devoted. So he says, if a person gives tzedakah, like the sheep tend their flock, giving it so much, and doing it all the time, then a person will be zoicha to have the schus of tzedakah protect them. We learned in the previous Mishnah and Gemara, in the previous shir, Mishnah told us that if somebody brings cash into the ksuba, so we increase the value. And as we explained in the previous shir, because that cash can be invested and make more money out of it. On the other hand, we learned in the previous shir that if somebody brings utensils into the marriage, when we assess them, we actually undervalue them. We take off a chaimish when we write them into the ksuba. Amar of Shem bar Abba, Amar of Yochanan, Hechnis lozov. What's going to be the halacha if gold was brought into the marriage? So there's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What does the Gemara mean when it says gold? Rashi says it means gold pieces, and Tosfos says it means gold jewelry. Says the Gemara, when we value it, we give vareu kishavyai. We don't overestimate it. We don't underestimate it. We leave it at its value. Because gold has a fixed price. It's a currency. And that's the price that we keep it at. And even gold jewelry, what were we concerned about gold jewelry, about utensils that they depreciate? Gold jewelry doesn't depreciate. Meisvei asked the Gemara. It says in a braisa, ha-zav ha-reu kakelim, that gold is treated like utensils. My lafka kelim shall zav the pasi. Doesn't the braisa mean that it's treated like silver utensils that we said in the previous year we have to undervalue in the ksuba? Says the Gemara, when the braisa says kakelim, it means kakelim shall zav. It means like gold utensils, the loy pasi, that don't depreciate. Ask the Gemara, if the braisa is teaching us that gold has a din like gold utensils, so shouldn't it say kakelim? The braisa's wording should be that gold pieces or gold jewelry are treated like gold utensils. That's one kasha. Vay, there's another kasha. Vay, Tanya, we learned in the braisa, Zav ha-reku kalim. Zav has a din like kalim. Din re-zav, gold kalim, gold coins, ha-ren kiksofim, is treated like cash. In a place that they're not really usable, people don't exchange for these coins. And the Gemara now tries to understand what does Rav Shimon Gamliel mean? Rav Shimon Gamliel, ahai. What is Rav Shimon Gamliel saying? Elay Masef, they're speaking about the gold coins, and he's saying that if we have gold coins that are not really in currency, that we don't treat it like cash. Mechlal, so the Tanakh that argues from Shimon Gamliel obviously holds a few of the mokum shenagu shloi lefartam. Even in a place that they're not used for currency, we treat it like cash. So the Gemara, how can we say that that's what the Tanakh holds? Halay nafki, they're not in currency. El laf, it must be that Rav Shimon Gamliel is referring to the ratio. The Tanakhama said Zov Reku Kalim. My love, what is the Tanakhama, my Kalim, what is the Tanakhama saying that it's treated like Kalim Shokesef, like silver utensils that are devalued in the Ksuba? And comes Rav Shimon Gamliel, Harei Kedin Rishon Zov, they're treated like gold coins, but Makam Shnogish Loyal Fartam, and they're valued at their real cost. So, according to this, Rabbi Yochanan is following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel and not the opinion of the Rabbanon. And like the Rishonim explain, even if we'll say that normally we follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, that's only in a Mishnah. But in a Braisa, we always follow the opinion of the Rabbanon. So how can we have Rabbi Yochanan following the opinion of Shimon Gamliel? He says, "Umar loyal na sefer." He's going to the sefer. And it's referring to a case, the Nafka Yedei Tchak. It's currency, but it's not really that usable. And the machlokes of the Rabbanim of Shimon Gamliel is masav akivin and nafki, since they do are somewhat usable. They go up in value; they're treated like cash. Or masav and Rav Shimon Gamliel holds kivin the loy nafki or they tchak, since they're not that usable. Loy mishbechina loy, we don't treat them like cash. Ibay seima, another way of explaining this brisa is cooler of Shimon Gamliel. The entire brisa represents the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. And this is the way to understand the brisa. Zav harayku kalim. Gold is treated like utensils. Dinrei zav, gold coins, harayku ksofim are treated like cash. And we add a third. The medram amurim, when was that said? The makam shenagu lefartam, where the gold coins are in circulation. Av the makam shenagu shalai lefartam, in a place where that's not a usable currency. Then we don't add the third, we just put it down at their value. Divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel. This is the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, b'makom shenagu shloi lefartam, in the place where the gold coins are not in circulation, shamanasai, we assess them, v'rein b'shevyeim, and we put it into the ksuba, at their value. So what we're up to is as follows. We had two questions on Rabbi Yochanan. One question was from the Braisa. And the other question was that if he holds from the other brisa, the brisa says zov harayku kalim, it should have said zov harayu kekelov. So the second question from Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanon, we've successfully answered. But what about the first question? That if you, Rabbi Yochanan, are right, that gold is always written at its true value, so why does the brisa say zov harayku kalim? It should have said zov harayu kekelov. Mikomokim says the Gemara kekayilav meboyle. That brisa is a difficult brisa to understand according to Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara kasha. That's indeed a kasha. Ibay same, another way of resolving that brisa. Hachemayskinen. What's that brisa referring to? Dava pricha. Dava pricha are gold chips. Rav Ashi Amar b'memalala. Machlokes Tosfos Rashi and Tosfos what memalala means. Rashi says memalala means gold dust. Tosfos says memalala means gold that is taken out from the ground and not yet purified. That gold, everyone, including Rabbi Yochanan, will say, since it's gold chips, gold pieces, gold dust, it goes down in value. But every other gold is put down at its value. Amar Rabbi Yanai, b'samish lo tuchyon, as a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand the Gemara. First we're going to explain it like Rashi. We've said a few moments ago, that there's a difference in the ksuba between cash, which actually we write in more than its value, and utensils we write down less than the value. So the Gemara says, according to Rashi, since in Antakya they used to do a lot of business with cosmetics, so it has the din like cash. Amar Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yochanan, Gemalim shel Avya, Arabian camels, Isha Goyva Paramahem, is also treated like cash. Amra Papa, Hani Tusfi de Meimichsi, these linens of Meimichsi, again, it was something that they did business with. Isha Gavi Panamahem, it's written down as cash. Vamra Papa, Hani Saka de Rudya, these sacks of Rudya, for Ashley de Kumchanina, or these bags that they kept flour in, Isha Gavi Panamahem. Again, all these things are like cash because that was something that there was a lot of commerce done with, and they go up in value. Vamra Papa. Amarava. That is another din. Again, this is the way Rashi explains this Gemara. and Taisha doesn't disagree on this point. We've learned many times that a woman only has the right to collect her ksuba from karka, from real estate. Says Rava, Mireish Havamina, I used to say, Hani Anint Kima Mechuzah. Mechuzah, there was a lot of business done with cash. So these wallets, these money bags, Isha Gaiva Paramahem. A woman could collect a ksuba from, even though they're not property. My Tama, Asmit Chelai. The woman relies on it, because she knows that that's what is a lot of business done with it. However, Kivin Chazoi, the Shakliu, the Nafki, that people, that the woman, if they were getting a ksuba payment, the husband died or they got divorced, what does she do with the cash that she received? The Kimashkechi Ara, when they found property, she got a ksuba money, and what does she do with the ksuba money? Zavnabahu. She goes and buys, Ara Zavnabahu, she goes and buys real estate. Aminas Mutchia Arahu. We see that the women like real estate, and therefore the only thing that should be used for paying a ksuba is real estate. So it's interesting to note that the Rosh says that, again, we live in a time where cash is king, and people like cash, and it's like that place where women could collect the ksuba from cash. Taisus disagrees with the Rosh. Taisus says that a woman doesn't have the right to collect the ksuba from cash and metapolin because of our reliance on cash, but rather Taisus says there's a takonis ga'oinim that if the husband dies and he didn't leave over any real estate, times changed, not everybody had real estate, then she has a right to collect a ksuba from a tatlin. And as the Noida Behud explains, the difference between the Rosh and Taisvis is that according to Taisvis, if a husband died and he left real estate, the wife has the first right to collect from the real estate. It's only if he doesn't have real estate, then she could go to the metatlin. According to the Rosh, metatlin and karka are the same. As I said earlier, we explained the previous piece of Gemara like Rashi. Taisa says that the entire Gemara should be understood in the same way, that the Gemara is saying that in all of these places, since this was these items that the Gemara listed were what was commonly used as commerce, women relied on it, and they could be used to collect the ksuba. That's not the way Rashi explained the Gemara. Can you open the window? Says the Mishnah. Hamasias bitoistam. Somebody marries off his daughter, he should not give her less than 50 zuz. That's the minimum ksuba. That's the minimum sum he should give to his daughter when she gets married off. Says the Mishnah, pasuk lachnisa ruma. Let's say the father-in-law made up with the son-in-law that I'm not giving my daughter any clothing. You have to dress her. Leyomabal, the husband shouldn't say kishnisena lebesi. When we'll get married, I'll buy her a wardrobe. Ella mechasav oidu beisavia. We get her dressed while she's still in the father's home, so that she should come into the chuppah, she should come into the marriage with a nice wardrobe. So Mefarshim asks, if the husband's going to have to pay for the clothing anyway, what's the difference when he's going to buy it? So I saw a very nice pshat. Let's say if she buys the clothing while she's still in her father's home, so she has to pay according to the father's standard of living. Let's say he buys the clothing when she's by him. She has to buy according to his standard. So let's say we have a chassan that doesn't have such a high standard like the girl's father, even though the girl's father is giving her nothing with a high standard. The halacha will be, he has to dress her according to the father's standard. The Kena Messias Yisayma continues the Gemara. Somebody's marrying off a Yisayma from Tztaka. You have to give her a minimum of Chamishim Zuz. Im yesh bekis, but if the Tztaka fund has more money, the finest salafik fighter that we give her according to what we could afford. Two interesting comments. One is the Mefarshim make an observation. First, our Mishnah says lo yifchas lo mechamishim zuz loshin yochid, and then it says mefarnesin loshin rabin. Why does the Mishnah change tenses? So I saw a very nice pshat. We know that if there's a tzedakah committee, if they made up that everybody that comes gets a certain amount, so one person could give out the tzedakah. There's no need to think. But if we're starting to decide how much to give every ani, you shouldn't have only one person, you should have a committee. First, the Mishnah is saying we're giving a chamishim zuz. So yachid, even one gabbait stock could give that. There's no need for deliberation. But then the Mishnah says, mefanas nalaisa alufik vaida. We have to decide what she really deserves. That should never be done through one gabbait stocker. We should have a committee. The Mefarshim also quote a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi has the following machlekes amaroim. Let's say there's a tzedakah fund that has more than the chamishim zuz. So we have a person that needs to get married. We could afford to give her more. But should we be concerned that maybe tomorrow there'll be another kala coming and we will have depleted the fund? It's a machlokes amaroyim in the Yerushalmi. Amar Abaye, says Abaye, chamishim zuz, when we keep on speaking in the Mishnah that the minimum a girl gets when she gets married is chamishim zuz, pshiti. As we said, there were two types of zuzim. There was the zuzim from Tsuri that were pure silver, and there was zuzim Medina. The zuzim Tsuri were pure silver, and the zuzim Medina were one part silver, seven parts copper, so they were worth eight times the zuzim Medina. Our Gemara is speaking about the zuzim Medina, the simple zuzim. Asking Ramai, how do we know to explain the Mishnah that way? Midatani Sefer, we learned in the Sefer, Imyesh Mekis, if we could afford Mefanasel Sfik Foydai. Ravina Makis, what's the shot of kiss, as we explained in the Mishnah? Amar Rechava, Ani Kishat Tzedaka, the Tzedaka Fund. V'Yitzalka Daitach. Now, if we're going to explain, says the Gemara, Chamishim Zuz Mamish, that it means 50 expensive Zuzim, Im Yesh Bekis Kami Yavinila, 50 Zuz Tzuri was a tremendous amount of money. El Alav, Shmamina, regular Chamishim Zuz is Pshiti, and then if we have more, and she needs more, we give her more. Tanabon. Yosem Yisrael Mishabal Lispanis. If a Yosem Yisrael come to be supported, Mifanis and Yisrael, first we should support the Yisrael, V'achka Mifanis and Yosem, then we give the Yosem. Mivnei, Shadak Shalish Lachsa Psochim, V'ani Shadak Lachsa. Men are more comfortable in collecting. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Yosem Yisrael Mishabal Lispanis. If a Yosem Yisrael come to get married, Masinas Yisrael, V'achach Masinas Yosem. First we take care of the girl and then the boy. We're more concerned about the woman. It's more embarrassing than for the man. So the Aruch HaShulchan asks a fundamental question. We've said so many times, a man has the obligation of Puru Revu. A woman doesn't have the obligation of Puru Revu. So why do we give a Yosem stuck of money to get married before a Yosem? So the Aruch HaShulchan says that Pshan and Av Gemari is that there's enough for both of them. The question is, who should we give first? We'll make a parlor meeting for one today and a parlor meeting for the other one tomorrow. So we're going to make two parlor meetings and we'll have for both. We should give the Yisrael first because of her embarrassment. But if indeed, says the Aruch HaShulchan, we're going to only have limited funds and we could only marry one off, we should do the Yosem before the Yisrael. All the Mefarshim disagree. And they say that although a woman doesn't have the mitzvah Puru Revu, but you can't do the mitzvah without a woman. And therefore, the assignment comes before the yosem. Says the Gemara further, Tanabar and yosem shabal lisa. If a yosem comes to get married, sarichun lebayis, we rent for him a home. And the shayals achuvas shevet alevi, and the shayals achuvas miches yitzchak, make a very interesting observation. Sarichun lebayis. If somebody comes, you don't have to buy him a house. You only rent them a house. And he discusses, in certain places, there's a minig that every kosin kala, they buy them an apartment. Why? The Gemara says seichrin, not koinin. And they discuss that if that's what's necessary to be able to marry them off, and that's the minig, perhaps you're allowed to buy also. On metzin lo mita v'kol kli tashmishay, we prepare him a bed, furniture, v'akach metzin lo isha, and then we marry him off. Shenemar, dey mechsara shiachsaloi, dey mechsara zabayis, is the home. Ashiach samit of shulchan is furniture. Loi zu isha. Kenuaymer esloi eza kenegdoi. Tan rabbanim day mechsoiroi. At the mitzvah lov lefarnesoi, we're obligated to support him. The at the mitzvah lov leoshroi, we're not responsible to make him wealthy. Continues the Gemara. Ashiach saloi. Afilu sus lirchav alav. Ve'eved loritz lefanov. Even the horse to ride on and ever to run in front of him. So the Mefarshim make a number of comments. The Shita says two very important points. One point that the Shita says is that this is only referring to a person that grew up in a certain standard. So he grew up in a certain standard and then unfortunately he loses his money. So we as the community have the obligation to support him. Let's say he wasn't brought into that standard. And then he brought it upon himself. And now he says, I need that standard. We're not obligated to keep that standard. The Shita also says that this halacha only applies if we have a person who was wealthy, lived on a very high standard, Nebuch lost his money, and people aren't aware of it. So in order to avoid embarrassing him, we have to give him what he needs. But if everybody already knows that he lost his money, we don't have to support this very extravagant lifestyle. There's a famous story with the Kotzker. You know, in Kotzk, the Kotzk was very sharp, and he didn't like to waste time. They weren't very into COVID. There was a person that once came to Kotzk, and the Rebbe gave this person, spent a lot of time with him, took care of him, and gave him a lot of COVID. So the Chassidim came into the Rebbe and asked the Rebbe, this is totally not your style. You believe that COVID is foolish. It's a waste of time. And all of a sudden now you're starting to give this person all of this COVID. So he answered, Al Gemara says that we have this person who's poor, and we have to support him. So he says, Sus lirchavalov, a horse, I can understand, he needs a car to get around. Ever large in front of? Who needs a servant to run in front of him? What does that do for you? But if it's important to the person, even though I realize it's foolish, and I think it's a waste of money, we have to give him because he needs it. Said the Kotzker, I think COVID is a waste of time. It's foolish. But this person needs COVID, and if he needs it, we have to give it to him. Says the Gemara, Amar Lava Hillel Zaken. They said regarding Hillel Zaken, Shalakach L'Ani Ben Toivim Echad, he bought on behalf of an ani, sus larchavalov, a horse to ride on, the eved larch lefanov, and a eved to run in front of him. Pamachas lematza eved. One time he didn't find an eved, larch lefanov, v'rotz lefanov shlosh minim, so Hillel ran in front of him. So Farshim asked, Hillel was the nasi. The nasi shamachal kvoidoi, ain kvoidoi machal. So how could he do something like this? So I saw a number of torts, and the Ritva, interestingly, says, this was Hillel's history, he says. Hillel originally lived in Bavel and was a wealthy man. And that's where this story took place. Then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He lost his money, moved to Eretz Yisrael, and was poor, and then he became Nasi. This happened all before that. Another Teretz, if you're somebody like Hillel, that everybody recognizes you're a humble person, then such a person, even if he's the Nasi, we recognize that this is what he's all about, he's allowed to do that. Another Teretz, V'chadon says, interestingly, Hillel disguised himself. He disguised himself. I saw interesting Shaila. Let's say there's somebody who's a very big Talmid Chacham, Rosh Yeshiva, and he knows how to play a musical instrument. And there's a Chassan Kala to get married, and nobody, they can't afford a band. They can't afford an orchestra. Is he allowed to go to the Chassan and play? So it matters. If, on one hand, it's Kavod HaTorah. On the other hand, if the person is truly sincere, the paper baby don't recognize that he's Rosh Hashiva, he should do what he can. Continues the Gemara. Tana Abonim. Ma'isa ba'anshi Golo ha'elyoyim. The people from Golo. Shalakach l'oni ben toivim echem mit Tzipuri. There was an oni from Tzipuri. They bought for him litra bas b'chol yoyim. They bought for him a liter of meat every day. Ask the Gemara, litra bas ma'iravusa. That's not such a big act of tztaka. Amar funa. Litra basam shal ifis. They bought him a liter of ifis. So the Meiri asks, a liter of chicken is not such an expensive item. So the Meiri says that in their times, the brain of ifis was a very big delicacy. So how much brain meat is there from every chicken? Not much. So to accumulate the liter is a lot. And that's why the Mefarshim say, we say he came from Tzipayri. In Tzipayri they ate Tzipayrim, they ate birds. Vibay sema, belitra basam mamish, it was meat. Tzav explains Rav Ashi, Hasim Kfar Katan Haya, they lived in a small village, B'chol Yom have a mass of the Chiyusa Metalosei. In those days when they shechted an animal, they couldn't put it into the refrigerator. They didn't have refrigerators and freezers. So here they slaughter an animal on behalf of one individual. Now what are they going to do with the rest of the animal? Still they shechted it for that individual. And like the Mefarshim go on to explain, and let's say you shecht an animal and it turns out to be a treifa, so you have to shecht another animal. And they did all that on behalf of this individual. Says the Gemara, Hu das l'kameid Rav Nechemya. There was an individual that came from Nechemya. Amar b'ma'at to Said, what is your meal? Amar b'basa shamein v'yayin rioshin. I'm used to eating fatty meat, old wine. So Nechemya said, I don't have that kind of diet. V'tzayintcha sh'tel galgal mi b'adoshim. Are you willing to eat beans? Gilgal mi b'adoshim v'meis. And he gave him beans, and he wasn't used to this meager diet, and he died. Amalai lezeh shaharga Nechemya. Terrible, he died because of Nechemya. Ad Rebbe, oilai Nechemya shaharga lezeh, who should have been Milk splits this mebayle. The Gemara said the chemya killed him. Says the Gemara, Elihu de loy boyle fnuke nafshi kulahai. He shouldn't have gotten used to this expensive diet. So Mefarshim asked the obvious question. In the previous Gemaras, we've been saying that if a person's used to a high standard, we give it to him. And here, when the person's used to a high standard and we don't give it to him, the Gemara says he did the wrong thing for asking. So the Shita says, the teretz that we said before, if a person was born into a certain standard, there he keeps up the standard he was born. This individual wasn't born into that standard. He got himself used to it. And therefore he was wrong. Why did you get yourself used to that standard that you can't always sustain? Says the Gemara, Ha'ud Oslo Kamei Derova. Omer B'matasoy, they asked him, what's your meal? Omer B'tkanet Koilus B'tumah V'yayin Yoshin. I eat good poultry and old wine. Omer V'lechai Shel Duchadus Burah. You're coming to ask for tzedakah. Are you not concerned that the community can't afford that? Am I taking from them? I'm taking what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me. The Tanina, as we say every day in Ashrei, so there's a question. Ochlam is Loshen Rabbim. B'itoy is Loshen Yochid. So it should have said B'itom. Says the Braisa. B'itom loy nemar B'itoy. Everybody gets the panos that he's supposed to have. Ad hachi, asa achse the rava, the sister of rava came, to chazile tleis l'shani, 13 years he had never seen her, v'asle t'kanes t'kanes p'tum v'yayin yoshin. And she brings to her brother and she brings Dizzy's food. Ama maida kamei, so he said, what is this? Obviously, you deserve to get this nice meal. So Mefarshim, Chazanish, speaks at great length. What was so special about this person? This person lived with bitachin. And he defines bitachin. Bitachin, he says, doesn't mean sitting at home and hoping that the food will come to your table. That's not a normal way to live. On the other hand, bitachin means to believe that everything that we have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this person didn't just sit at home hoping that the food will end up on his table. He did go to Rava's home. But on the other hand, he recognized that it's not Rava who's supporting him. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who supports us. And therefore he says, I know that this is what I'm supposed to get. And because he lived with this lifestyle, he got the meal that he wanted. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Loy. Let's say somebody doesn't have Nebuch, Vein Roitz L'Sparnis, but he doesn't want to take Tzedakah. First we give him, we tell him we're giving you the money as a loan. The chazav a nice loy l'shem matana, and then we tell him take it as a gift. Divrei remeya. The chamar a nice loy l'shem matana. First we give it to him as a gift. The chazav a nice loy l'shem hava, and then we give it to him as hava. Ask the gemara l'shem matana. If we give it to him as a gift, halo shakal, he doesn't want to take tzedakah. Amar rava l'ftayach loy l'shem matana. We tell him we want to give you a gift, and he will refuse. And because he refuses, then we say, you know what, take it as a loan. It's all just to get him comfortable. So ask the Mefarshim. We know that the halacha is midvash sheket tirchak. So this is not straight. I'm telling him it's a halva, but I really mean a gift. How am I allowed to do that? So I saw a beautiful pshat. We know that even though we're not supposed to say something that's not true, but the Gemara says, Shina kodesh baruch hu pnei ha-shalom. To make peace, sometimes you're allowed to not be honest. When we have in the world a person who's poor, it causes a chilul Hashem. People don't look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu, why do you make this person Nebuch poor? So when we give him support, and Baruch Hashem, he doesn't look poor, and he is, and he has what to live, we make peace between the world and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that people don't speak bad about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't that the most important shalom that we can make? And therefore we can be somewhat deceptive. Continues the Gemara, Yesh Loi. Let's say you have a person that Baruch Hashem does have, then he writes L'Sparnas, but he doesn't have the heart to spend money. Says the Gemara, nice money with Shumatana. We give it to him as a gift. The Chazirim and the Framimenu. As the Gemara, Chazirim and the Framimenu, if we're going to ask him back, Sulay Shakal, he's the person that doesn't want to spend any money. On a Papa Lachemisa, we don't ask him back for the money, because we know if we'll ask him back, he'll never take again. We take it from his money that leaves over. Shimon Yeshloi, if somebody has, if he has, he should spend his money. We make it sound like it's a loan, bring security, he should feel more comfortable. Somebody that doesn't have, but he doesn't want to take stock, that we give it to him as a loan. And then we forgive the loan. We never ask for the money back. Tavitena, Zeshiesh loy, Vein Roitz Lisparnis. He has, but he doesn't want to spend it. We give it to him as a gift. The Chayzim in the front, Menelacha Misa. And then after he dies, we take it from what he left over. Divrei, Rabbi Yehuda. If he has and doesn't want to spend his money, ain't a skokan loy. El Namin Kayim Tavitena, it says, Havet Tavitena. And it's the Gemara, Divrei Torah Kolosh B'nei Adam. Marukva have Anya B'Shvivusei. Marukva had a poor person who lived in his neighborhood. Davarogu Koyoim, the Shari Delay Abazuzi B'dash, B'tsunur D'dasha. He gave him the money very quietly. He left it by his door. Because as we know, the Rambam says, one of the highest levels of tzedakah is matan b'seisa. Yom echad, one day, this poor person said, Ezel echsei man ka'ovet b'yahuta v'osay. Who's the person that does for me this tremendous favor that he leaves for me tzedakah every day? Hahu yom naga marukva lebei madrasha. Marukva was running late. Asya devisa b'hadei. So his wife came along with him. And the Mefarshim say, here we see, very nice pshat, that even though Marukva was so careful about giving it matan b'seisr, ishtik gufay, from your wife, even if you're giving matan b'seisr, your wife you could tell. Kivin the kachazia, the kamatzlai ledasha, as this poor person saw Marukva and his wife putting the money in, nafik esrayu, he started chasing after them, rot mekamei, and running after him, The poor person ran after Marukva to see who's this benefactor. Ayla lahu asuna. So Marukva and his wife jumped into a furnace to have a groove noira. That the fire was extinguished with the hot coals. Have a kamakayan carry the Marukva. Marukva's feet were getting burnt. Amrei devasai. So his wife said, Shkol karech, oisev akari. Take your feet and put him on top of my feet, I'm not feeling the heat. Chalashtate. So he felt bad why his wife is not feeling it, and he is. Amalei anor shechichna begave de beisa, umakava aniyose. She said, I have more of a schus tzedakah than you do for two reasons. One is because I'm home all the time, so whenever a poor person comes, I'm there to help him. You're in yeshiva most of the day. Moreover, you, when somebody approaches you for tzedakah, so you take out money from your pocket and you give it to him. I could give him food because I'm the wife, I could cook, so that's why my tzedakah is more. So Mefarshim asked a very fundamental question, obvious question. Yes, Marukva wanted to give matan b'seisa, and he tried. But if this poor person is so desperate to know who's his benefactor, and he's chasing after him, so I did mine. I tried to give matan b'seisa. So I have to. He has to jump into an oven. So Farshim say a very nice pshat. Marukva recognized that if this person will realize that who's the person that's giving him the tzedakah, it's the great Marukva, he'll be very embarrassed. The army must have thought that it's a regular individual giving tzedakah. If he would recognize that it's Marukva giving the tzedakah, he would be very embarrassed. And that's why he jumped into the oven. Michael Lahai, and why did they jump into an oven? It's better to jump into a furnace than to embarrass someone. Ask the Gemara Benolan, where do we learn this from? B'tamar. The Ksiv Him Mutzars. Remember the parasha with Tamar and Yehuda, where Yehuda had accused Tamar of having an immoral relationship, which actually she had a relationship with him. So she didn't tell anybody that it's from Yehuda. She was pregnant. She didn't tell anybody it's from Yehuda in order not to embarrass him. And as Tosfos says, if we look in the Pasuk doesn't say, he mutzeis mem vav tzadik aleph sof. It says mem vav tzadik sof. Mutzas, loshim fire. she was ready to jump into the fire rather than embarrass him. So Mefarshim asks that if not embarrassing somebody is worse than, if being embarrassing someone is even worse than killing him, so why when we keep on speaking in Shas all the time about a Gimel Averis, Yehorek Val Yava, we know it's Sicha Vaidazar and Arayas. We should end in, we should include Halbonas Ponim, embarrassing someone. So most Mefarshim answer, since this is not something that's explicit in the Torah, it's only something that the Rabbanan learn, when we speak about that list, we speak about what we learn explicitly in the Torah. The Shari Tshuva says, certainly somebody, Shari Tshuva is a Rishon, Rabbi Yoina, says somebody is supposed to rather die than embarrass someone. So why is it not in the list? So he says two reasons. He says, when you embarrass somebody, it's like you're killing him. Because like the Gemara says, what's Lashon Halbonas Ponim? White, because the blood in it, when you embarrass someone, the blood in his face goes away, he turns pale, and then it comes back. So it's like you killed him, you made him lose his blood. So it's already in the list. Ritzich is in the list. And another thing that the Shari Tshuva says, that embarrassing someone doesn't have to be included in the list. He says, because worse than Ritzicha, and worse than Avodah Zarah, and worse than Gila Arayas, is embarrassing someone. So for those of areas you have to let yourself be killed, certainly not to embarrass someone else.